For I was born.
For I was born to be.
Oh, let's surrender to Him tonight. Thy dwelling place.
Thy dwelling place.
Let my life now be separated unto thee,
separated unto thee,
that I might be,
that I might be what I was
Let's make that a real consecration to Him tonight. For I was born.
For I was born to be. Oh, Thy dwelling place. A home for the
So
let my life now be separated unto thee,
that I might be,
that I might be what I was born to be.
Oh, let's sing that again. For I was born to be. Oh, yes, Lord.
I was born to be. Thy dwelling place. A home for the presence of the Lord.
So let my life now be separate. I was born.
Oh, lift our hearts. How we desire that tonight. That we might be His dwelling place. Bible says we are lively stones, building up a spiritual house, a habitation for the Spirit of God, a holy temple. Knowing that the Most High does not dwell in tabernacle near its hearts. But the scripture says, know you not, you are the temple of the living God. And how in these last days, by this great capstone revelation, He's come to cap off the pyramid of our lives. This great tabernacle He's built, the living tabernacle for the living God, the statue of a perfect man. That He might dwell in us and walk in us. I will be your God and you shall be my people, He says. Father, we thank you tonight for this great light that you have sent in these last days that will shine into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And to know that, dear God, we walk in this life. We walk upon the face of the earth in this hour. Lord, awaken to your divine will. for your plan that you have revealed and ministered to us, Lord, showing us your program for this age. Even as your prophet prayed, open to us the rock beneath the rock, that we might see Jesus and his program. This great hidden manna was to be brought to the church in these last days. When these seven tongues utter the voices to open up a mystery, to bring a power back into the church, these vile old mad bodies will be changed. And dear God, you will show forth your victory and the reason of your death. And knowing, dear God, as you have so clearly revealed and identified to us that this is that time, this is the hour, this is that day, dear God. And Lord, you who have worked down through these years unceasingly, now bringing your work to its great fulfillment. And what a joy it is to recognize that we have been included. We have been considered. We've been made part of this great happening that is taking place upon the face of the earth. Now we've been drawn by your Holy Spirit in these last days. We see and to know these things, and we want to confess that we believe this tonight. Knowing that you are the author and the finisher of our faith, and we have this confidence that you who begin the good work in us will perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as we are gathered here tonight, Father, oh God, with this understanding, how it makes us look upon a night like this, and we can have the privilege to come and gather in your name, and knowing that you promised to be present, that you're the great master sculptor, a greater than Michelangelo, oh God, who's building your masterpiece, a super race, a super church. Lord, you will sculpt tonight in this workshop. God, your great Holy Spirit will overshadow us, that we can feel the transforming effects of the Holy Spirit bringing us from flesh to word, building us up, Lord, into the full stature of Jesus Christ as you brood upon your church, bringing this great spiritual evolution, bringing us from stage to stage until once again there's a people who reflect you, the very God, the very Creator. You could step into your masterpiece and fulfill your word in this hour. Sanctify our hearts. Cleanse us, O God. Blot all our transgressions, we pray. Move everything aside, O God. And may the Holy Spirit pour that faith within us. God, we pray tonight that your presence will become so real in our midst. You'd break through every hindrance. You can move up into the realm of the Spirit. You can see and hear clearly by the divine grace that we believe you will impart to us. Lord, we ask you to remember your children out in the region. Knowing, oh God, you've gone back from the convention and with even great expectations, knowing that they always come expecting to receive, that they can go back. And I would have testified every time they went back, they see the Holy Spirit move in a greater way amongst them. We pray, dear God, that even as they would be at the post of duty tonight, Almighty God, that you will bless them and continue to strengthen them, and continue, Lord, to keep them under the divine influence of your Holy Spirit. Knowing, oh God, in these last few days that is running out, and you're bringing your work to its completion, Lord, you could really have that preeminence among your people. Lord, that your promise you will do, you'll have a people in condition that this can be done, Father. Whatever need that they would have in the midst, how we pray that faith would, Lord, be so focused into your word, and hearts and minds can be in agreement, in one accord, in that right atmosphere, both here and there amongst them, God can cause us to receive all that you desire to give to us. Let us not have fear, but let us have faith. Let us not worry and be anxious, but let us confess what you are able to do. And see your Holy Spirit move in our midst and minister to us what we have need of. Even tonight, Lord, may you do the exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. We thank you in advance, giving praise and honor and glory to you. In the almighty and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these mercies. Amen. Praise his mighty name. We would like to greet you tonight in the precious, lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And such a blessed privilege to be in his house once again. We had such a wonderful time here on Sunday, the Lord's willing. Preaching the age of adoption. Continuing the convention, the anointed ones in the end time. The potter's purpose, the potter's power. Prisoners, then vindicated and placed sons, believe that God is bringing his church to maturity, to perfection in this hour. You believe that? Amen. Believe he's working in you. You see the evidence of his mighty hand working in your life. You see change in your life. You design change. Amen. You're determined to be changed. Amen. You refuse to remain stagnated. Praise his wonderful name. You have the right attitude. Things happen. Amen. Because the problem is not on God's side. He's determined to do. It's how much we will let him do. He give us that power. That we can shut him out if we want to. Amen. That he can deal with you. In a way, if you invite him in, but you try to shut him out and you're ordained for this, then he'll have to take drastic measures. Yeah. Amen. And then when he takes drastic measures, then, you know, you will suffer the consequences. You know, Saul, look what he had to do with Saul, who became Paul. Is that right? Look what he had to do with Moses. And that, he always does that. Because he's determined his word will come to pass. Look what he had to do to the prophet in this day. Take wife and take daughter and all these things to get him in the place where he wanted him. He's a potter, friends. When he see that spirit of compromise, when he see that fear there, he put him back in the wheel and broke him. And sometimes we find that the hand of God is very heavy, but it's all in love. It's all in long suffering. His first prerogative is that we drop our hands and surrender. But you know, sometimes man can be stubborn. Then we feel the hand of God. Amen. Look at Samson, what he had to go through. You see, but God gets his work done anyhow. Amen. You see, don't play with God, friends. You cooperate with God. Remember, you're walking with God, you have to learn his ways. We are growing up now, we ain't cheering no more. Amen. Praise his mighty name. I'd like to read out of Genesis 37. I thought that while I am catching some things that I feel can help the church, and when I struck the convention there and felt the Holy Spirit, the heart of the Holy Spirit, to preach some of the messages there, preaching the convention, and then preach Sunday, I thought that I'll use some of the Wednesday nights and do a little teaching on the life of Joseph. So I know how it is on Wednesday. We don't want to be too late. And Sunday we can get pretty long sometimes. And so I can catch both sides. And I would like to preach about Joseph's life. Because on the Sundays, I am, you know, speaking on adoption, perfection, these things, maturity, anointed ones. And there's many, many things we can pick up here on the natural side to help a lot of people as well. And I trust that I'll be able to catch some of the places as best as I can. So Genesis 37, We read verse 1. Genesis 37 to 50, you know, is the life of Joseph. Genesis 25 to 36 is the life of Jacob. And Genesis 12 to 25 is the life of Abraham. And 25 and 26 are part there. Shows us Isaac. And these are the four great foundations in the book of Genesis. Genesis 37, verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. He was the 11th son. You know, he had 10 of them before, and with the three wives, and then Rachel had Joseph and Benjamin. And then she died in childbirth, giving birth to Benjamin. And so this boy was the only one who, at that time, who was motherless, so to speak. His mother died. Everybody else had the mother. And you know, sometimes you see how children in their own life, they go through things, they go through hardship, but all these things serve in a way to make them what God wants to make them, what you want to reveal to them. And I want to catch some of the places that can help you in your own life. You know, many times you go through things in your life and you wonder, Lord, why this and why this? And you know, these are the places sometimes Satan really beats you, make you feel sorry for yourself, make you feel discouraged at times. But when you can see God has a reason for all these things, the smallest of things, the most minutest of things. See how intricately your life has been planned and designed by God. Then you know, remember the potter who takes up the clay. Clay can't make itself nothing. But the potter can transform the clay into a vessel. The potter has all the thoughts concerning the clay. He has all the, you know, longer time he's going to take. You know exactly what design he's going to make it. You know what purpose he's going to use it for. Even while it don't have no choice in the matter. You know that? You have no choice whether you be male or female, what race you want to be born in, what time you want to be born in. You know, not, you have no choice in these things. All this, your life is pre-planned. Amen. Your life is pre-planned. The sovereignty of God. You can make one lump to honor, one vessel to honor, one vessel to honor, all to the same lump. So it's a great thing. Things to learn here to help us in life. Amen. And here we see, he was the child of the old age of his father. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So not only does he have a mother here, but he also now is suffering the consequences of the brother's hatred. And his own brother from the same womb is too small. The boy is about 4 years old. Joseph is 17 years old here. And so he's bearing a lot of things in his own life. He don't have no friends. Sometimes you want friends. A boy that age, you want friends. You want to be among his brothers. And he's experiencing rejection, humiliation, being despised, being hated. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. First they hate him because the father loved him more. Now they hate him for his dreams and his words. Then he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren. And said, behold, I have dreamed. I dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. His father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him. But the father observed the same. That envy is going to get the brothers in trouble. See, you can't have things like that in your heart and go along normally. These are things you're going to find as we study some of these things here. It's important what you have in your heart. It's important what you carry. Your heart was designed for the Holy Spirit. Your heart was designed when God made man, he put something in the human heart, a place for him to dwell that the animals don't have. You get that? And when these things that have come in there, you're going to find trouble. Because a man, he thinks in his heart, so is he. That's where the control tower is, and that's what is going to sit on the throne of your heart, and what is going to sort of influence the way you think, influence the way you speak. They couldn't speak peaceably. And speech is only the expression of thoughts. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And this is where it begins. A root of bitterness that defiled so many. But the things that was causing this to happen, look how they were looking at it. Now, if you, we are talking about Joseph, the type of the son who comes to perfection. He represents perfection. The age of adoption. He grew to become a mature sheaf. That's the type of this age, the wheat age. Harvest time, adoption age, age of perfection. But look at the environment around him to grow this life, to qualify this life. You get what I'm saying? You want to be a Joseph, you have to learn to accept. You don't get to become a Joseph without being hated, despised, and being rejected. Because that's what it takes to grow that. That's what it takes to develop that. That's what it takes to prove that you have that. You get what I'm saying? So it is something here. Remember, all scripture is given by inspiration. It is profitable for doctrine, instruction, and righteousness. See? So it is for teaching. It is put here that we might be taught the ways of God. It's nice to see Joseph type Christ, Joseph type this, Joseph type that, Joseph the mystery, all these things. But watch what it took to grow and develop this life. This is what we're looking at. Verse 12. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send thee unto them. And he said unto them, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks. He hadn't heard of them for a few days, so he wanted to know what's going on. Remember, Shechem was the place where Levi and Simeon, where Dinah went and get defiled, where Levi and Simeon killed up a whole place, where Jacob was caused to stink, where the people vowed revenge to destroy them. And this is where they had the flocks grazing. So when he's here for them for a few days, he's worried. He know they hate this boy. He know they don't love this boy. He know they're jealous of this boy. And he know it's dangerous for this boy to go again. But yet he loves all his children. And he hadn't heard of them. And he know it's in Shechem they went. So he's concerned. Go on to his well with them. See his well with the flocks. I don't know what the state is. I don't know what is happening. He's concerned. And he said to him, here am I. Isn't that something? Submission. He knows. But darling, to be around, Shechem is off. It's a miles away from here. And I'm going out there alone. When people hate your news, no? When people want to conspire against you, and you know, You just like to go among people who reject you and can't accept you and can't listen to you? You feel comfortable here? Well, then understand the scripture while we read. Think of the scripture while we read. You just stand up and, you know, think of what we say. Because we're not talking about our Old Testament story. We're talking about something now. This is given to assure us ourselves, our life. He's going out there. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks. And bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron and he came to Shechem. How many know what Hebron means? Communion, love, fellowship. Here he was in the bosom of the Father, the beloved Son. And now he's going out unto his brethren. He's going to his own. He's going out from the Father to them. The Father is sending him. The Father sent me. He's going out to his brethren. And a certain man found him. So he sent him out to the village and came to Shechem. And a certain man found him. And behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. He ran back home and said, Daddy, I can't find them, you know. So I don't know. I went away, tell me, go to Shechem, I went to Shechem, and he sent me Shechem. No. He also wants to see his brethren. Even though they don't love him, he loved them. He also would like to see them and be around them too. Love does make you look beyond people false. Love always hoping, you know. Love always believing they will change, you know. Love always hoping that one day their eyes open and they recognize you are sent to be a blessing to them, you know. Love hoping that instead of they fight, they understand, you know. And the man said, they are departed hence. For I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found him in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. I want to take that for a title tonight. Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. Dothan mean two pits. And we will say, here's the conspiracy. We'll kill him and we will say, some evil beast had devoured him. And we will see what shall become of his dreams. I want to take that for a subject. We will see what shall become of his dreams. It had them so disturbed. Them dreams. Those things you are speaking and testifying of. That they started to think, we will do that. Bow down to him. Never. Let's get rid of him. We'll see how them dreams will come to pass. But if the dreams come from God now, you can't destroy the word of God. Now watch where envy and jealousy is blind people and they try to destroy God's word. Because it's not him no more. It is what God's word said concerning him. They are trying to destroy the indestructible word. Remember Pharaoh tried to kill Moses? But what happened? He himself had a reason. Is that right? And instead of they think they're going to kill that, they themselves are going to cause it to be fulfilled. You get what I'm saying? May the Lord bless you with what you may have seen. Behold, this dream is coming. We shall see what shall become of his dreams. Revelation could have a very disturbing influence on some people. Revelation can bring joy and stimulation to some, give them peace, you know, shed abroad the love of God in their heart, make them joyous, give them courage and conviction to go on with God, give up everything in the world to become a prisoner to God. And that same revelation can have the most disturbing influence to some of the people. That it get them angry, it get them to conspire, it get them to kill, it get them to want to destroy the thing, it get them, you know, so full of rage that they just can't be comfortable. Strange how that does that. But you see, it just shows so many times that what life is, how we ought to live our lives. The dreamer and his dreams. You know, dreams is a very wonderful thing. The prophet always asks you, how many you dream? Many times people look up their hands and say, that's right. Not all people dream. So the man who don't dream, his subconscious is way back here. The man who dreams, his subconscious is here. And the man who sees visions is here. Yes, sir. But he can dream while he's awake. Hallelujah. And then, you know, he says we live in three realms. We live in the realm of the humanistic. We live in the realm of revelation. And then we live in the realm of vision. Well, revelation comes in many different forms. These were revelations that was coming to this young boy. You know, and it's important, your birth. Your birth has a lot to do with what you are in life. See that your birth is planned. That's your beginning in this natural life. And that's the way God brings you into the stream of human beings and allot you a space and a time to fulfill his will. We all here tonight, you know, we in church, we love the Lord, we've been called to serve him in this day, we love this message, we hear about the prophet, we hear about the church ages and the great messengers in different ages, and we can look all the way back from Genesis with Adam, all the way to Malachi 4:5, and see that in every age, God had a man, and God had a lot of time and a place, and God put a man there. We had Isaiah and Jeremiah and Hosea and all them down to the Old Testament. And, you know, Jesus came. And then Peter and Paul. And then, you know, we go right down to the church age. With Irenaeus and Martin and Columba all the way down. And now all that is finished. I mean, the bright age. This is the hour for the manifestation of the sons of God. This is the end. This is the end time. How do we know that? All the end time signs have shown themselves. And the very things to confirm the end time has happened. Seal up the book, Daniel, until the time of the end. Seal up the book, John, until the time of the end. These things, when it's open, when the end time is running out for Jews, time is running out for Gentiles. Revelation 10, seven thunders, the end of time vision. Time shall be no more. Daniel 10 to 12, the end of time vision for the Jews. And he swear by time and times and half a time. Brings it to its completion this hour. And here, seven angels appeared. A blast and seven angels in the form of a pyramid. Never seen since creation like that. And a prophet born, predestined, caught up in the air and come back. Sirs, is this the sign of the end? Couldn't my brethren seriously think? And they begin to show to us these things. Then we have seen the greatest light that ever shone since creation come and shine these last days. And we see man does not change. We see religious man rejecting the word, crucifying. We see religious man and religious systems indicted by God after being and put on trial and found guilty of a criminal offense, the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And we see them today shut up in prison awaiting execution. Going along with all the religion, but already dead and impossible to be saved. The names have been blotted out of the book. They'll be fodder for this atomic age. But we see a bride, the elect, being called. And we see no bodies is coming to become a super race, a super church. Because that's what they promise. In this day of man's wisdom, when knowledge shall increase, and learning, and man could put a man on the moon and send machines that they make, they invent, and guide it straight to Mars. And photograph and pick up soil samples and bring it back and showing the great wisdom of man. In an age where they're going to biotechnology and cloning and all these things, and cloning sheep and doing things, and locking the sequence of life, where they sequence the human DNA. And now they want to actually produce clones of people and bring people without sickness and all these things. Because they have got a formula in their hand. And in that hour, when man shall knowledge shall increase, and we see man from the tree of knowledge have become so knowledgeable, so scientific, man with computers, what they can do, guided missiles, satellites, but a pinpoint accuracy, that they can, from that distance, yeah, they can read the license plate on a motor car. They can find any person anywhere in the planet within 3 feet now. There's no place man can hide. And they can't find you. And you see, in that hour, also knowledge shall be increased for the church. And by a prophetic gift, which is a gift of knowledge in the Bible, the Holy Spirit took a prophet way past the humanistic realm, way past the realm of theology and man and science, until a man in this generation went into heaven and went into hell and came back and revealed to us what heaven is and what hell is. He had been there and came back in the Bible and opened and showed the secret of what man was before birth and what he's after death was revealed. Pre-existence, earthly journey and eternal destination, the complete secret of our lives being revealed. From when you are taught all the way to a glorified condition in a new heaven and new earth, have been opened to the church in these last days. What a great thing that God has done. And sometimes we don't realize what has been put into our hands. This kind of knowledge is what scientists want. This kind of knowledge is what the church sought for 6,000 years. This kind of knowledge Enoch and them sealed up in the pyramid has been unsealed in these last days when he opened the rock beneath the rock. They show Revelation 10 that was sealed up in that empty coffer. That after that messenger in the seventh step brings into the king's chamber where there's an empty coffer where a man comes back into immortality. And Enoch and them had those things back there as a symbol. But it was laid in the Bible to be revealed when the end time messenger comes, more like Enoch. Amen. And all these things been open to the church. And then we begin to look and see how Joseph, a secret of glorification. Abraham spoke of election. Isaac spoke of love. The beloved son, sonship. Then Jacob revealed grace. And Joseph perfection, glorification through suffering. And as I have gone through you many times, how from Genesis 1 to Genesis 6 is 2,000 years. From Adam to Noah. And the first 2,000 years, God wiped off civilization, start over with Noah in a new earth. And start back in an agricultural civilization. After a great information age, destruction came. Then from there we come. And we see from Noah to Babel how the world comes from an industrial age, agriculture age, back to an information age. And the whole world is one language and one speech, and God broke up the whole thing and enlarged the world. And how we have come back to that place again in this hour. And seeing then from Genesis 1 to 12, from Adam to Babel, 11 chapters, God just revealed about 2,300 years or 2,400 years or so. But then, from Genesis 12 to 50, it's just 400 years. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And most of the book of Genesis, we see from 12 to 50, the whole purpose of Genesis 1 to 11 was to lay the foundation to bring it from Adam to Abraham to show how God's purpose unfolded to Abraham. And that was the unconditional covenant. And by that man, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Both Jews and Gentiles. And on the last days, under this message, the royal seal of Abraham from all nations, a bride, an elected people, with faith like Abraham, is coming forth. Because Abraham represented how he came out elected and called, and he came out justification, coming out of Babylon, and then he went to he baptized, coming to the Euphrates River. Then he came justification, sanctification, Genesis 15, Genesis 17, received the new birth, the Holy Spirit, new name, and all these things. Genesis 18, God coming in the form of a man, and then Abraham was changed under the seventh seal when he saw the coming of the Lord as the supreme judge. Is that right? Then all these things here have been laid in mystery for us. So then as we look at the unfolding of God's will, and it begins to unfold, out of that faith came sonship. What the believers will have. Because out of Abraham came Isaac. And a man who's come to understand his election and calling, his predestined life, that he's a son chosen in God before the foundation of the world. Sons and daughters chosen and the name of the Lamb, book of life, election. Abraham under a conditional covenant, not even his mistakes can keep him out. God said, I make this covenant myself. He failed. He left his covenant, but he couldn't lose his covenant. He could lose his blessing. He could lose his blessing getting from his covenant. But he can't lose his covenant because it's unconditional. Not what you have done, but what I have done. What I have purposed concerning you. Because Adam broke his, Noah broke his, and God came down to establish the real covenant is by grace, election. That the purpose of God according to election will stand, not of him that work, but of him that call. These are places in a person's life where they grow to perfection, where they grow to perfect faith. Because if you don't know you are chosen, you're trying to make it. And when you see like failure, you're feeling you won't make it. But when you start to know election and calling, you don't look at your state, you look at your standing. You look at your standing, and you know, your confidence is, he has begun the work in me. Being confident that he who has begun the good work in you will perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. You are his workmanship. He's the author and he's the finisher of your faith. He starts you on the journey, he'll complete it. He has never abandoned his work. If there's a crack, he breaks it, put back on the wheel, and rebuild it back new. He's going to bring it out what he purposed in his heart for it to be. Is that right? So this ought to give consolation to a person when they sit down and they realize, upon what basis am I sitting? I'm chosen to receive this. If I'm receiving this and it's being made known to me, that's what I say, holding the beginning of your confidence steadfast unto the end. But what is your confidence? He has begun the good work in you. Being confident that he has begun the good work in you. He has come down himself by election to get thee out of your country. He have chosen you. And he gave him a promise. You will have a son and you will have this land. Is that right? And he put the man mistakes in the Bible. Didn't he do it? He lied. He ran down in Egypt. He said, Sarah is not a sister and all these things. He failed God. But every time God revealed himself to him, God was showing him more and more. God had appointed time for the son to come. There was an appointed time for the vision. And he was walking in the vision. Because at the end he said, now I know Abraham. And he tells us we walk in the steps of the same faith of our father Abraham. He called you. He reserved the right to try you and test you and prove you. But he will bring it to pass. You only have trouble when you lose sight of that. You can never have fear when you keep seeing that. Because elective love. The proof of God's love is what? Election. And that's perfect love. Perfect love do what? Cast it out here. What is election predestination supposed to do? Give security to the church.
that you can't be lost, that you're chosen unto that. Under no circumstances could your name be blotted out of the book. You can be chastised. You don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial. Amen. He's working all things together for good. That's where you find rest. That's where faith grows. That's where faith roots go deep. Is that right? Something revealed about yourself. He revealed something to Abraham about himself. He revealed something to Isaac about himself. He revealed something to Jacob about himself. Don't you say, I'm the God of your father Abraham? Don't you say, I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac? He revealed something to Joseph about himself. God is not in the information business to tell you about everything and everybody, but don't tell you about yourself. That's not God. He only tells you about things and places and people in relation to yourself. When he calls you, his objective is about you. He wants to reveal to you where you fit in his plan. Why he have called you. What he called you for. What you want to achieve in your life. How he will bring it to pass. He called us young here and educated about the prophet and the Bible and the Old Testament and the millennium, and then you know nothing about you? That's not God, friends. When God called, he called about you. If you tell about the millennium, because you're going there. If you tell about the prophet, because you're sent as an example to you to show you how to come in the same kind of faith. Amen. We are all dreamers. This denominational world don't like the dream we dream. But we didn't give ourselves this dream. Amen. We dream all them things in the book of Revelation. All them in the book of Daniel. That's our dreams. That's about the end time people. Under the end of time seal. The wise shall understand. They have know that God will do great exploits. That the last day bride. It was written only for the bride. A prophetic class of people in the eagle age with eagle anointing. In the age of perfection. It was not given for the church ages. After churches have run out. Then the seven seal book was to be opened. And these seven thunders was to come and pull the elect out. And show to appear for rapture in faith. That's our dream. That's for us. John represented the bride. Daniel represented the bride. We are the end of the Gentile dispensation. End time, Daniels. Glory. You notice how people, they are worried and confused about the hour and what is going to happen because they don't know the supernatural. They can't faith many times in what they're looking at. It don't seem to them a certain way. But I want to help you tonight. I want to help build your faith tonight. I want to help open your understanding to the scriptures. Joseph was very much unlike Abraham. God didn't call him to sacrifice his son. God didn't call him over with some wife, barren for 25 years. That's his experience. He had to take no band of soldiers, train servants, and go and fight no people and down to be a sheep and bring them back. That was not his thing. He was very much, he was less like Jacob. He was no deceiver. He was honest. He was sincere. He ain't trying to rob nobody or nothing. He ain't trying to use all kinds of schemes to progress in life. No, not at all. He never meet no angel and rascal until daybreak. You get what I'm saying? He's far different than Moses. Never go and meet no bush burning and hear a voice talking and go down there with a rod in his hand and bring plagues on Egypt. He brought blessing on Egypt. Moses brought plague on Egypt. Both of them was in Egypt. Is that right? He preserved a people in Egypt. Moses called a people out to Egypt. Both had great power in Egypt. But they're very much different. He opened the Red Sea. He being walked out no rock. All his water was in his dream. Because his dream was the rock. When that rock was revealed, it brought lies to save the world. They're all different, aren't they? How many believe Christ was in Abraham? Going from Dan to Beersheba. To deliver his lost fallen brethren. Restore their possessions to them. Spoil principality and powers. Is that right? How many believe Christ was in Isaac? Obedient to the will of the Father. Lived all his life. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Went with the wood up the mountain. Is that right? Never retaliated against the will of the Father. Amen. Get the bride. Became heir of all things. You believe he is Christ? That's right. How many believe that Elijah was Christ? Amen. But he made the sacrifice. Amen. Removed the plague from the land. Is that right? Jesus gave his life for a sacrifice. What had happened? A king threw the kingdom into death. That's what Ahab did. By following his wife Jezebel. Adam, a king, followed his wife Eve, a Jezebel. She was deceived. She came with a cup of the wine, the serpent fornication, to teach false doctrine. Is that right? Threw the whole kingdom into death. But Jesus came to do what? Offer himself a sacrifice to remove the land, to slay the enmity, to bring reconciliation, to bring them back to the blessing. When Ahab took the kingdom to death, what happened? The rain ceased. What is the rain? The Holy Spirit, life. When the sacrifice was made, what happened? The rain came back. When Christ died on the cross, what happened? The Holy Spirit came back. They came back to God. Is that right? Then Elijah ascended on high. Send the mantle back. Send the spirit back. On Elijah, type of the church. It's Christ. Moses was Christ. Born a deliverer. Is that right? Hand became leprous. The hand, the right hand of God in the bosom of the Father became leprous. The rod became a serpent. Because the serpent represented the serpent that brought the fall, that brought the leprosy, a sin of man upon the human race. But what happened? God delivered to Moses, a people. Moses had the meat of the lamb, that was Christ. Moses had the smitten rock, that was Christ. Moses had the brass serpent, that was Christ. Moses had the ark, that was Christ. The tabernacle, that was Christ. How many believe Joseph is Christ? But is it Joseph smiting rock? Is it Joseph calling for frogs and flies and all these different things? No. What is Joseph's power? What he did? He's a perfect type of Christ. All 7 feet in him. He's the old book of Revelation. What is his mystery? Why has God present him the way he presented him? He had no pillar of fire over his head following him everywhere. He went in the pillar in the cloud and come back out and put a veil on his face and go talk to them. But we see Moses with all that, but under provocation, but he displeased God. We see this man under all persecution forgive people. I think sometimes we can't see the supernatural. You see, Elijah is supernatural. Moses is supernatural. Joseph had supernatural too. And he was more like Christ than all of them. Because he was the perfection. Who's the masterpiece? But can we see the supernatural? When did you get supernatural? What do you mean? A light was somebody flying there. Somebody opened the sea wide. Woo! Has power. What are you waiting for in your life? What are you looking for? Each one have a story. Each one is presented different. Each one is Christ. Christ has been revealed. Something about Jesus. His life, his power, his grace, his deliverance. Did Joseph save people? Moses saved them by killing a lamb, put them under blood and everything else, and saved them. Joseph saved them by opening his mystery, by the life he lived, by the forgiveness he had. If Moses delivered, Joseph delivered. Moses became a prisoner to his king. Joseph became a prisoner to his king. Is that right? If you see Moses and Joseph there, we had a prophet who displayed Moses and Joseph. Is that right? Everybody loved the Moses part. Sign in the hand. Two signs to come from the commission. Pillar of fire and cloud. Spoken word. Is that right? But after all that, you could forgive. You had patience in tribulation. Is that right? Yeah. Look how we handled persecution. Did he get revengeful? How is faith zero to that promise all of years? He said, well, he told me in the river, I've been waiting for a message. It's going to come one day. This thing, he told me this great work is to happen. He believed it! Didn't you, when he was reading that Bible, he locked himself in the closet in the hotel room? Isn't that a strange thing to do? You're already in the hotel room locked up. But he still wanted to feel a little closer. He went in the closet and he pulled the door inside the closet and he held the Bible and he started crying. He said, Lord, you had such a man like Joseph. Because he was that Joseph. He was the son of this age. He came with a rainbow coat. He had the perfection. Is that right? On an age level. See, you gotta get a revelation, dispensation, age, local, and individual, you know. You don't get that age and that nothing else, you know. All scriptures give my inspiration. You get what I'm saying? How he handled revenge. How he was able to conquer the spirit of revenge in his own life. The insight of the counsels of God that he had. He said, you meant this for evil. But God meant this for good. And he's more influenced by what God's purpose was than what man's purpose was. So when he meet the same people, he's going to get angry. He never lived in the air. He found a higher place to live than that. Because it wasn't information. The God who designed his life, he's had to understand sovereignty. He's had to understand God's way to bring about what he said. And how man is just an instrument employed to fulfill God's will. He found a repellent for bitterness. He found an immunity for revenge. Against revenge. You get what I'm saying? To me, that is supernatural. To me, that's supernatural. Because to do the work of salvation, to save the world, it required this. To prove he's a deliverer, a savior. To prove he didn't have power, he had character with his power. He was fit to rule. To prove in this, he was actually reflecting Christ, the real savior. Can't we dream? Can't we move up into that realm? You see, dreams come from the subconscious. How many of you know that where faith is? How many know faith not in the outward conscience? How many know faith in the inner conscience? This outer man is CKCS Malantach. Faith not here. Faith on the inside of the inside. That's why it comes automatic. Because you are really what you are doing inside of there. Here you have a word of knowledge, but don't you have a demon of doubting? And you know, you can't really operate until that inside line up here. Because the man in the engine room is who controls the ship, not the man in the deck. You can say, by his stripes we are healed. You know, and I'm loving all the diseases. And don't you have, I'm going to get healed. You ain't going nowhere. You have a word of knowledge out here. But don't hear a demon. If you sit this mountain below you and don't what? In your heart. Don't doubt in your heart. Why? Because in that subconscious, that engine room, it can have doubt inside of you. And that's what you are. This dreamer. Sometimes a man speaking his dreams. Because when the dreams come, it is really the word of God. But they form the word of God coming in for the age. In other words, when it is communicated, he's in sheaf. And he's conscious that sheaf is your sheaf. In other words, he can't come and say, we was in the hen yard and there are a bunch of chickens there. And we had about 12 roosters. And that this certain rooster was crowing more than the other rooster. He can't change the revelation. He had to communicate how it's given. Because the one who transmitting in a certain form for a certain purpose. And because he's transmitting it to one who is part of it, or to people who is part of it, they are starting to see themselves the way God saw them. What is the difference between that and the angel saying, "Thou mighty man of valor"? Is that different? One symbol from one plane. But both showing yourself the way God sees you. You get what I'm saying? Joseph is unlike Abraham and Isaac and Moses and Elijah. Yet he's a mystery of Christ within him. Yet he's coming to save too. He ain't got on fire and said, "Burn up some people." No. You don't display that kind of thing. He said, "You bunch of rebels. Must be getting water for you." No, he didn't say that either. You get me? Look where the bride in this age, the right new sheaf. Look where the perfection, the masterpiece. Look where it's coming from. Look the kind of life. And that's why I say, when I saw going to that, I says, no, this will be good. To break it down. It'll help people in a lot of personal things in their life, in their everyday life, in their work, in the school and everything. And though it may be simple, it may be a nice way still in to put people in remembrance to realize if this man came through these things, he had people who didn't like him. He had people who disappointed him. He had a father who loved him. But it seemed like the father let him end up into a place with brothers who reject him. He came onto his own, and his own received him not. The light shone in darkness, and the darkness comprehended him not. Yet he was sent by the father to them. Yet he came out from love and communion and fellowship, the beloved son in the bosom of the father. Go out there among them. And he went out. To do what? Seek the welfare. To bring a word from the Father to them. To take back a report from them to the Father. Whose work they were employed in. But it shows at that stage how little people understand the economy of God. You see, the Bible is written in pictures for a reason. And this is God's way of bringing scenes to us that we ourselves in life's journey, and especially in this age that we are living in, which is the Joseph age, The age of adoption. The age of glorification. The age of coming to a person from election. He was elected too. Just like Abraham and Isaac. Isaac was elected. God saying, Isaac shall this be called, not Ishmael. Jacob was elected too. He says, not Esau, Jacob. Abraham was elected. He said, not Terah, Nahor, Abraham. That's right. Joseph was elected too. God said, this one, I'm going to give the revelation. That's right. Joseph. It was mysteries. He himself wasn't understanding what God was showing. And God is only revealing things in part. Now that's why we could talk about battles. You know, it'd be easy for us to live if we had known everything about this revelation. If you had known everything you are going to go through from now until the rapture, it'll be easy for you. But God don't let you know everything. But God let you know some things. Isn't that right? God tell you you're going to rapture. God tell you you'll be changed. God tell you when you'll be changed. The last trump. God tell you how to identify six trumpets on pass where you shout and the voice between the six and seven trumpets. And you know a lot of things about the revelation. In general. But you don't know a lot of things about your experience, what it's going to be, and how you're going to come up glorified in the end. You don't know that. And that's the part that makes people doubt, because when things are happening like different, it like Daniel is getting out of alignment with the rest of the revelation. So when this boy ends up in that pit there, he is saying this is going to fulfill no vision. When he's being sold in slavery, he's not going to fulfill no vision. When he goes in Egypt, the prophet could still see at 40 miles these flags stopping in Arizona. I know the place in the vision. I'm going right there. It's not Colorado. It's not New Mexico. It's Tucson. And he died to Tucson to wait there for the angels. But this boy never went to Egypt. So he has seen himself in Egypt. Is in Egypt the bow down to him? And he don't know the rest of the vision because it still has Pharaoh vision. Pharaoh dreams is the next part. And that will be revealed in its season. Because Pharaoh dreams that make him great. That bring him to greatness. His ministry now didn't just went to the father's sons in the house. It went to the world. And he didn't go to the world in the first pole of the air. It's at the end of part of his ministry, he coming into the world. With something that's going to affect the whole earth. Now, as we walk in this world, friends, you see, the word doesn't mean much to you if you don't believe it down in your own heart. Because you're still going to admire this and like this. Because this looks dramatic and this looks very nice. But when you get down to the place now, to where you are to walk, to where you are to have to go through, do you see this is a step in the pathway that leads to that? Could he see what the brothers was doing him there? Thinking they're destroying the work of God. We'll see what becomes of his dreams. They don't know they're sending him into the place to fulfill the dream. Now catch this. All of this was determined by God. Because the dreams reveal his future. You get that? The revelations that he received reveal his future. But many people is more living the present. Faith just look to the end of the road. Sight just look here every day. You get that? Sight is wrestling. Sight just can't see beyond the circumstances. Who could have been dead? No, I'm dead today. He said, you're dead. What? You cannot die? You're in a sick bed. I'm not dead. You know, God, let me make my will. Let me call Bell Grove for me. God said, who can you go dead? See? Because why? You can't see beyond that dark place. But God has a will. And God is working his will. And all things working together for good. Because this is the determinate counsel. In other words, Abraham never knew is after 25 years in the sun coming. The real sun. Is that right? He never knew. Everything El Shaddai, it takes circumcision, it takes a new name before that comes. It takes him coming as supreme judge, opening the mysteries. You know, from the first age with Paul, it couldn't take place until he came as supreme judge in this day and opened the seven seals. In an age like Sodom, then it could happen. Is that right? But God didn't reveal to Abraham how long. And when we look back by hindsight, there were definite stages. Justification, Genesis 12. Sanctification, Genesis 15. Genesis 17, the new birth. Genesis 18, the faith to be changed. Is that right? There are junctions in the life. And it'll take from, it'll take all that time to bring this. From getting into the country, the man we want fit, the beginning of the father, until now I know of the thing you love the most. Final testing. He don't know that. That time he didn't know that place called Moriah. And Moriah is a big party life. He know that place called Hebron. Where you had a goat that live in Hebron and Mamre and be stinking in the fatness and love and communion, and out there they go into war. And in that war, in that battle, God will confirm things to him. Get communion, meet Melchizedek, come into places that is bringing him in condition for the promise. Can't you see from when God called you many years ago, what time he called you, to where you are sitting here tonight in this sins, things that you have to pass, and yet you still have more to travel? But can tonight a word like this cause you with understanding to see that there is a purpose, because you your own self anticipated things and didn't expect to go through certain things also, where you're finding yourself in? Is that right? Where God showing you is not your will, it's his will. It's not what you want and you determine what he determined. He said, but I want to be a trapper. I want to be in the woods. He said, but God had something else in mind for me. He said, I was just one standing there. Why was this boy able to overcome and stay focused amidst all the trials and testing? That's the thing that shakes people up. People be going good until the storm starts. When the storm starts, then the wind will blow the boat all over. Like then panic has come. But how come this, he was able to draw strength? Didn't Abraham at one time, his great-grandfather, also was able to look back when God said, offer up Isaac. And he looked at the boy and he remembered, in Isaac shall I see be called. And this boy, he married. And this boy, he have no children yet. And God can't change his mind about his will. And if this boy had to die, God must raise him back up. And then when he looked in his own life, I get him as one from the dead. Can I get no children? And then God put El Shaddai. So if God produced him supernaturally, God is able to raise him back up. And faith from a channel. Because you can say, I tried to bring it to Ishmael, and I run with Ishmael, and I asked God, oh, that Ishmael might get blessed, and I want God to bless me and Ishmael, but I know the promise. You get what I'm saying? He bring forth that wild man first. So when you look now, you've seen. No. God had to let me get my thinking filter and change my concept. But that we don't go that deep. We just come to church. We shoe out the matching pants. We tie out the matching shirt. And we are singing the choir. And they become part of the church program. That's the course we just take. We don't take this next route. He said, God, you approve that. I had to change my concept. I had to get my thinking filtered. I had to get my desires called. You didn't honor that dear. You let this be that way. Because you're showing me I want my will instead of your will. Teach me to submit. Break. We had a break, Lord. Because if I call unto this, and you call me for this, and I'm your child, then I can be your child without potential. But if I have some tongues, want to choke the seed, take your gooseneck hole and Lord, wheel it out. Because I am determined to bring forth what you ordained me to bring forth. We don't get here. We have to take a different route. Because a lot of people live in the humanistic realm. To get there, you have to live in the realm of revelation. People who had a new birth. You know, I had a new birth, but I don't live there. You have a church birth. The new birth is God in you, and God in you is the inside teacher in you. And the inside teacher in you have all the examples of what you're going through in the Bible. So he just came back to the scripture and show, look, I do it for that one, I do it for this one, I do it for this one, I do it for this one, and I do it for you now. And you'll be able to understand your experience by looking back in the Word. And you don't fight up with God, you submit to God, you surrender to God. And he said, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. And you find you begin to make progress with God. Otherwise, you have a church funeral. Some preacher will say something nice about you because you used to be in church. He can't put you in the bride, you know why? Unless word for the age was operating through you, it had no evidence of bride. You could be foolish virgin. You could be good works. You could be you're still a child of God, but not bride. Bride is word. Bride is Christ. Bride is the identified Christ of all ages, identified in you. That's bride. That's why you have to divide it. Woe is me if I don't make black, black and white, white. If my preaching don't make you desire the real new birth, if you don't have it. And if you have it, you grow strong and you grow up in Christ and all things under your feet and you walk where God called you to walk and you don't live below your God-given privileges. You're going to live unto this end where you're born and for this cause you come into the world and you're going to live no halfway life. You're going to live victorious, overcoming life because when quickening power come upon you, your mind quickened to the Word and faith is energized inside of you and you have the substance and the evidence. You have the same thing that Paul and Brother Branham and Jesus had. You live by the faith of the Son of God. You don't live by another faith. No, no, you live by the same faith. Because the Holy Ghost is God and that's the new birth, friends. That's the same faith that Jesus lived by. You come to know your position the way he knew his position. You come to recognize what God made you. This boy started to recognize what God made him. This boy started to understand God had a plan for his life. Because then when he was in Egypt, God was with him. And when he's in the prison, God was with him. In other words, he's going to learn that God could be with you and your foot in scepters are iron. He's going to learn that God with you when everybody hates you and rejects you and you have no friends. And your vision seems like it can't come to pass. He's going to understand God will be with you there still. He's the kind of God with goosebumps on your hair raising, friends. He's the kind of God that God don't change his mind about his word and every... But speck of my life is ordained by God if I'm a child of God. In other words, if you are son of your father and your mother, from your hair to your toenail, consists of your father and your mother. Nobody else family coming there. You get what I'm saying? But then if your soul comes from God, every iota, every what your soul consists of, come from God. An infinite God. And if you know every flea at back its eye, hold on, you're going to live on a talent you're going to make. How much more you know, he said, even the very hairs in your head is numbered. But it's a time to be born, a time to die. He ordained everything in your life. if he have ordained corn life for it to grow for a certain season, if he ordained the physical life to grow in a womb and then give birth, and he put a certain time and he must go through certain processes and when a certain junction with the comfort. But nature causes that woman to go into labor. That child's going to push to come out. It's the same way with your spiritual life. Because he gives you these natural things to understand every stage of your spiritual life. That's why when you come back in the last days, you take the corn of wheat and show you the stage of Aluta in the stalk, the stage of Wesley in the tassel, and he show you each age. And he show you Abraham life, in the church in Abraham life, everything. To show you it's not by chance. All these things are mentioned out by God. And I'm using the same principle tonight to show you how he's bringing a church to glorification. I'm using someone here in this age, this adoption age, how it comes to fulfill, how these things are revealed to you when God begins to deal with you. He's showing you something about yourself down the road. He's revealing to you prophecy about your life. When he tells Noah about the rain, he's revealing prophecy about your life. When he tells Abraham about the child, he gives him prophecy about his life. When he tells Jacob that I'm the God of Bethel, the things that he revealed to him there, what he said he was going to do to him, I'll bring you back in the land here again, these things. God remembered his promise. God said, time to go back to your homeland after Joseph was born. Is that right? Exactly. When he had obstacles that face him, and he tried to deal with his own problem and can't deal with it, God come down and say, I will teach you how to face Esau. I have to fight you and break your foot. I have to take things out of you to deal with your enemy. But you think I'm killing you? No, I'm giving you strength to deal with your enemy. I'm getting you in condition to deal with your problems. Because you see, you see one thing as your problem and the next thing as your blessing. And sometimes your blessing will be a problem and your problem will be a blessing. Because your life upside down and you can't see straight. Can I get a witness? Yes. I feel the Holy Spirit says something there. That's right. Now, how much do you know? No, you're in the midst of problems tonight. And you're in the midst of all kinds of different things. And it seems like things going wrong for you like Joseph. But how many tonight can say, Lord, it ain't going wrong, it's going right. Lord, I'm accepting. I am yielding. I am submitting. And Lord, filter my thinking. And Lord, line me up. And let your word work through me. And you lead me, Lord. Lead me, Lord, and I will follow. Lord, I'm going to keep on dreaming. Amen. I'm going to keep on. I'm going to walk in this dream. This is, because I realize, I ain't dreamed a dream. This is a hamburger dream. This is prophecy. Amen. Transmitted to me. Amen. Send direct to me. Personal mail. Registered mail. Straight to you from the sender to you. Special delivery. Amen. You're assigned to get it. That's right, friends. No man can tamper with this. It coming to your subconscious and God said, that's you. That's you. Amen. You are my child. I am your potter. I'm your maker. Turn me to Habakkuk. I'll go too far with it. I want to stop. Because the time is about, in the heart of mine, knowing what the service was going to be, I wanted to, even for those in the islands, that's why I'm taking something from the Wednesday night. So I don't have it too long, I just have it just right, even for them as well. Psalms 105. How did this man's faith grow stronger amidst all the adversity he suffered? It seems that Jesus said in time of testing, the seeds get choked. When the root ain't go deep, it'll fall away in the time of testing. having no root and lack moisture. Where was this man getting moisture from? You get that? Because he didn't follow any time of testing. The seed that God planted in his heart, faith found its bedding ground. When circumstances is coming up, no circumstances have been considered. I'm trying to show you how supernatural. Is this supernatural what they get into? Like I'm showing you, his life doesn't look supernatural like Moses, supernatural like Elijah, but when you think of supernatural, what you call supernatural? And that's why so much of supernatural has been going on. And that's why I'm preaching at you from this angle. Because some people only know super duper supernatural. But when the seven slumbies said, never walk in the realm of supernatural, it's all the days of my life. Because when I start to see an infinite God, when I start to see the Bible, what is it? It becomes a new book to me. So when I start to like, even not a jot of a tickling sound that I can't feel. When I start to see the reality of this world here, when I start to see my own life from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 in the Bible, and this book was of me all the time. It was supernatural. Psalms 105, verse 16. David here giving us some of the history of Israel. There, and he goes back and he's tracing it down. And then verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. God called for a famine upon the land. He break the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a silver. What a paradise. You read scripture? Pause there. You know, you can never be a scripture reader and read that fast. He sent a man, he called for a famine, he break this staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a silver. That's how he sent him before them. God sending him, sent by God. Wasn't Jesus sent by the Father? And the Father sent me? Didn't he come of his own? Okay, Hebron, he come there, he come in Shechem? Didn't the brothers conspire to kill him? Look, the heir coming. Let me kill him and take the whole inheritance. Look, the Pharisees saying, we are taking my subject, let the whole world go after him and kill him. When they see him coming, he come into his own and his own receive him not. Is that right? But was he actually saving the world? Was they actually trying to destroy him, afraid the world go after him, and he was actually saving the world? And they thinking they're killing him, he couldn't die at old age. He had to be slain to fulfill the very plan of God. But the thing about Jesus was conscious. Jesus is conscious. He said, the Son of Man will be in the hands of sinful men. Peter get trouble with that. What? Jesus said, no man can touch my hour, it's not yet come. But when my hour come, they can touch me. He's got to understand permission. That all is by permission. God give him into their hands. Moses and Elijah is given to the beast. And the world is given to the beast. And the world is given to Nebuchadnezzar in that age. And power is given to them, hell and death, to kill 1/4 part of the earth. You fought till this age. Think of it. But friends, watch. The very thing where they're going to come to persecute this bride is the very thing that's going to glorify her. Is the very thing going to show that that man going to work with a lunch bag on his shoulder and a little washman over the tub is going to show one of these days that God in simplicity and humility was hiding behind him, that Jehovah had come down and morphed. And what look like a bunch of ragtag people, some little kind of church with some false prophet named Branham, and all this kind of different sacrilegious things they tried to say and talk to the people, that inside of there came the seed of the Son of Man that planted a former rain. And when that latter rain showers begin to come down in its fullness there, you will see brother people manifesting Jesus Christ. The thing we saw temporarily in the third pool will be manifested in the fullness of its power. Is that right? How you see him.
is where you're walking.
Because isn't that all a part of the vision? Isn't that all future revealed to us? Then while the vision is coming to pass, are we going to recognize it? When he became great in Egypt, he said, but it's part of the vision, but there are parts missing. My brothers and them had a bow. Then one morning he went down by the place and was weighing the corn. And he spots some of the fellas coming. And he said, wait a minute, a hand touch, you gotta walk around, a hand touch him. And he turned around and he spot them. He said, but I stand. I'm in the vision now. And he remembered the dreams. Is that right? You see where he's walking, friends? Now you tell me, then how would it be wrong when I'm saying we walk in division? Then why did we get trouble and say we walk in division? When you're walking and you are fulfilled, doesn't you, that the evidence that you are fulfilled is when you're knowing it? Is when you come in the past? Was he knowing by when it was happening? He knew it while it was happening. Did the prophet know, this is what I wanted all my life? This is the thing that I was being prepared for. This is the thing he told me in the river coming here. Is that right? I said, Peter, bride is, I said, I call you bride now, no longer church. He was catching it right there, walking inside it. That's the difference between faith and sight. That's the difference between the Holy Ghost inside and the Holy Ghost outside. Remember, rain falling the just and the unjust. I love to have the Holy Ghost outside. Feeling goosebumps and can't see the word. Hair raising your head, and you can't rely upon what God say you are. He sent a man before me who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was living iron. What are we to send a man before him? Look how God prepared a savior. Look how God prepared a savior. Whose feet they hurt in front of the iron, he was laid in iron until the time that his word came. What his word came? Was it the one that had been revealed to him? Was it the one he was preaching years ago? Wasn't the one that he got rejected for? The vision was for an appointed time. But it had to be revealed before it was fulfilled. It had to be planted and form a rain. You had to teach his revelation what it is. Is that right? You had to grow into the maturity that himself was being revealed to. Because what had been revealed to him was a man with authority, causing him to bow down. I got authority in his father's house, and authority in Pharaoh's house. But he had a few houses to get before he get Pharaoh's house. He had to get Potiphar's house and the prison house to get Pharaoh's house. Had no other route to get to Pharaoh's house. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Now, you're going to say God tried him, eh? But he didn't say God tried him. The word of the Lord. The word that came. Try him before he came. You get that? Didn't Abraham word try him? And he tried to bring the son? Knowing that son was coming? And bring the wrong son. Is that right? Nonsense. Always. Didn't Moses try to bring the deliverance before the appointed time and appointed way? The word of the Lord tried him. Many of us are being tried by what we confess. Many of us have been tried by what we say God talked to us and revealed to us. Many will say, like it when it's sweet in the mouth. And when you get bit in the belly, the deny what God tell you. Because at that time, it's looking like it did come in the past. And you're totally left to what you see. And then you want to recall your words. And you start to behave like if it's you who say. You see, a lot of people want to go into without saying. There's no way to go into without saying. You get that? There's no. God has revealed it before it happened. And when he revealed it, you have to confess it. And when you confess it, it freaks him out, then he try on it. That's right. And that's when many have denied the revelation and walk away. Oh my. But the training in these days, you said it. You said three, not two. I heard you. Go back here and wait for the last one. I mean, when he spoke this crazy, he said, well, I get two, it's okay. I'm satisfied with two. Unbelief. But God said, two of the three is okay too. Go ahead. Did God say that? Not God, friends. Not God. Every last jot and tittle of the word is going to come to pass. And brother, when he learned that, yeah, he's that carry moon, that beer, isn't that right? And he can, and it came up 4 inches high. And he didn't say, the grass with it 9 foot, they're going to come from. He didn't deny you or something. When the brother knows, I say, where's the beer going to come from, brother? He said, God will create it and put it there. Yeah. He ain't walking back and say, well, after the first part of the come to pass, and argue about the first part. He said, God will create that beer and put it there before we get there. How many realize that is what bride is? How many realize the same God in the Bible had all these things and he's showing you how you have to come, that the word of the Lord try you and must try you and it's sweet in the mouth but bitter in the belly? That Bible is run helter-skelter, that's not top, all kind of thing, exciting, impress people. No, you hold the word right there in your heart. That word have I hid in my heart, I will not sin against you. And then the Lord teach me to talk when I need to talk, when I need to talk, but my lip and give me temperance too. Because you're not going to show off business, is that right? You're not a campground star. And if God reveals something to you, then you have to expect him to test you. And if you pray for revelation, then that means pray for test too. Because once you reveal, you'll be testing. But this represents faith, and faith can stand the test. And every son and daughter of God must be tested, must be child trained. They must prove themselves worthy of the promise. How many will stand the test? How many will break under the test? How many can know, I myself can't stand it, but God, you set me upon a rock that I shall not be moved. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail. You don't be afraid, friends. If fear comes, fear of torment, Lord, send perfect love, that I will not be in a shadow of a doubt. Amen. Let perfect love cast away all fear. Let me be confident that you are the author and the finisher. And if you are bringing me in this age to maturity, I'm coming to perfection, it means I'm being formed in the world image. You're not stopping unless you reach the image. We're going in the age of the image. You will see face to face. You will see face to face. You behold the glory and be changed into the image. You will know if he inside of you. Is that what he promised? Then if that's this age, and that is happening, friends, then you don't be shaking in mind, troubling spirit, all confused and bent out of shape. Amen. You know, for you to speak, you have to come to the image. Because God made man in his image and then give him dominion. Not God give man dominion and then make him in his image. No, he made man in his image and then give him dominion. That's why the third point never came until the life was formed. Then he came in speaking conditions. Then he came in speaking conditions. That's why you try to come to prison early and God says, not yet, you're still in the oven. You come out here, you ain't get baked into reality yet. I need you to hold a year more inside of the air. And his feet hurt, and the word of the Lord tried him. And he was trying to come out, and he's trying to get the butler, and he's trying to tell the turkey, you know, see the butler, you know, I think you're having a cocktail party, the butler has to be there, you know, talk to him for me, tell him about me. Trying everything, pulling strings. And then he finally can't walk out, and then get vexed and frustrated, you know. Lord, where's my confidence? You begin the work. You will perform it. You never abandon your program yet. You never get frustrated. Lord, I can get frustrated, but you never get frustrated yet. Everything you build in, even though it seems like it ain't coming out good, you can break it and rebuild it. Amen! Hallelujah! Let me tell you, that's one thing you gotta learn about God. God never has abandoned his program. He does not change his mind about his word. He never starts something and say he can't finish it. Everything God starts, he finishes. If he's the author, he's a finisher. Amen. He sees the end. That's why he could expect it, because he sees the end before him. From the very beginning, he sees the end. You know what the end will be. And he predestinated unto the adoption to the place in. It's going to be there, mature in perfection. Because he works at all things after the counsel of his own will. He has all power. He's omnipotent and he's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows how long to hold you there. He knows exactly who to test you with. Amen. But his wounds was in the house of his own friends. In his own household. He would be, where did you get them wounds? In the house of my friends. It's good when the unbeliever tests you. It's good when the make-believer and the Hindu man, the Muslim man test you. But it's better when your own brother and sister test you. Amen. That's right. Then you're walking in the world. You hothouse plant, you amen. And you're going to be baby and sprayed. But if you are original, there's something inside of you, amen. And genuine. How many of you could want to keep dreaming on? Keep walking this dream here. Let's see what shall become of his dreams. What shall become? His dreams, that wasn't his dreams. His dreams was God's word. His dreams was God touch, he expressed. His dream didn't originate in his own mind. His dream came from the touch of God. He was only a channel, an instrument in the plan of God that God purposed and predestinated. Then God revealed to him that he himself is part of the word that the dream is. And the dream was the word for the age. But when you hear about bride is the Bible. Bride is New Testament. Bridegroom is Old Testament. Amen. New Testament was his blood in seven church ages. Is that right? From the feet to the head. And bright in this age is the head part. That's right. So the bride is part of God, part of the very word, and that could never fail. And that's the vision God gave you. He didn't just reveal the word, he revealed you are part of the very word. It came like God proving his word by believers. God testing himself in your flesh. You get that? God testing himself in your flesh. Proving to you it is his faith in you, his virtue in you, his knowledge in you, his temperance in you. Oh my. Let me close this. The supernatural was all demonstrated in Joseph's life. In grace, in power, in salvation, in deliverance, in faith, speaking his vision, walking into it, taking all the tests, came out into it, recognized it, knowing he was fulfilling it. Is that right? In wisdom, Pharaoh said, ain't a man as wise as you. In patience, patient in tribulation, the testing of his faith, work at patience. And in patience, he learned to possess his soul in that prison. Wait, I say, wait upon the Lord, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Is that right? God had him waiting in patience in that prison. but it's all being demonstrated in a manner suited to God's purpose. Suited to what? Suited to what? God didn't want to move my Red Sea and bring 2.5 million people through it. And say, look, power. No. That's why Jesus said, I have power to lay my life down. Man doesn't see power to raise up, doesn't see power to lay down. And some were tortured, not accepting deliverance. And out of weakness was made strong. You know that kind of power? When the flesh were glory and the flesh were man, packed back and flesh man say powerful, it's looking weak and look like you fail. But fast God can say powerful. Because man can't understand. They can't never be cross and believe you. They didn't know what kind of power. They didn't know that kind of power. Spitting on him, reviling him, persecuting him, taking it. And dumb before his church, he opened up his mouth. They didn't know that kind of power. That's the same power that walked in the water. That's the same power that speaks in the storm. That is the same power that raised me on Easter morning. Same power. God don't have two powers. That's the power. Your Holy Ghost in action, friend. He said not, the prophet said not so much in demonstration in this age. He said the Holy Ghost in action. You know why? False anointed ones have demonstration too. But in action, the Holy Ghost acting out the word for the age in you. That's when the Paul say, he wash up. He said, wash up is a washing, friends. He take all his rejection and went in the Bible and said, what when Moses rejected? What when Samuel rejected? What when Jacob rejected? What when Jesus rejected? That's the time the crowning came. What kind of faith is that? A man ministry come down to 75 letters a day when it's been in the hundreds of thousands. When all man forsook him, he stand there, you know, what he told me in the river is going to come to pass anyhow. I'm expecting a message to come forth. He said, either I come off the field, either that one I look for arise, or either he take me back and anoint me to be that prophet. You talk about expectation. Look at that man's walk with God. That was no angel telling that, you know. That was him following the continuity in his own life, talking there. That was knowing the God of the Bible, the same God was with him and in him. The Holy Ghost in action. In action. Because he knew, you understand, the masterpiece had to be smitten. He wasn't a super duper. He understood the promise in this age, the token, the literal lies. Christ walking your feet, speaking to your lips, speaking with your mind, walk with your hands. Everything, friends. Think of it. Election in Joseph's life. Calling in Joseph's life. Wisdom in Joseph's life, prophecy in Joseph's life, knowledge in Joseph's life, faith in Joseph's life. Think of it, miracles in Joseph's life. Gifts, character, love, bodily kindness, patience, humility, patience, temperance in Joseph's life. You know what's supernatural? You're the power of God. But a Potiphar wife knew that was the power of God. You get what I'm saying? Brother, them prison, that butler, that baker knew. No song service. Man foot in chain inside of here in fetters of iron. They know there's a different thing here. They know this is something going past. The human spirit, when they're all frustrated there. And while he's sitting there, he sees them with a sad, gloomy face. He said, what's the matter, fellas? What is wrong with you guys? The man who suffered more than them, the man who hurt him, the man who ridiculed, the man who lied upon and falsely accused, the man who go to a kangaroo court and get a false sentence here. But he encouraging men who deserve to be there. He could look beyond his circumstance and go out with his revelation to cheer them up around him. You see, you think you're trying to have a pity party and trying to get support and trying to tell everybody problem and tell everybody story and go, no.
We will be that way until we have the life of Jesus Christ. Oh, no one, the prophet locked up himself in the closet. How many to lock up themselves in the closet and cry over the Bible tonight? And say, Lord, a man like Joseph, Lord, I saw the sea. Lord, I want to be that kind of character. That's a perfection. That's a maturity in the stage. Think of the things. Election, calling, gifts, character is so visible in this man's life. Supernatural grace and power working to do it. Bring salvation and deliverance. I look so ordinary. He had no following of people. He like Daniel in Babylon. In a big kingdom, but catching revealing things. And God bring them close to the throne. And God had great men to see that these captives in the kingdom, look what kind of character they possess. A man's gift makes a way and bring him before great people. Is that the Bible? But what looked like tragedy was turned into triumph. What looked like sorrow was turned into joy. What looked like defeat was turned into victory. How are you handling your tragedy tonight? How are you handling your sorrow tonight? How are you handling what looked like defeat tonight? Can you dream? You dream in black and white or technicolor? You dream in digital? Eh? Let's stand our feet. Let me show you. Learning to lean, I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. In more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean. In the church's book, he said, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them and dwell upon the earth. How many lies come in the streets upon all the earth? A famine, you can't buy yourself, oppression, God calling for it. But when God calling for that, God have a church. You can multiply bread and fish. You have access to God. Under the blood of Jesus Christ. Is that right? What does he mean by the word of his patience? Hebrews 6:15. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessed now I will bless thee, and multiply I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You see, the Spirit is speaking about the word of God which is given to us. You see, the Spirit is speaking about the word of God which is given to us. To wait for the fulfillment of that word required patience. Even as it did in the case of Abraham. He endured as seeing who was invisible. He was patient, and then the word finally was fulfilled. That is exactly correct according to the psalmist referring to Joseph. Psalms 105:19. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. God give us exceedingly great and precious promises. He's promised to fulfill them. He will. But from the time we pray until the time we get the answer, we must learn to receive patience in our souls. For only in patience do we possess life. May God help us to learn this lesson. Even as we know the people of this sixth age learn patience. We read the history of the lives of these great Christians. What a contrast we see between their lives and ours. For they were so patient and quiet. And today we are all but overcome in over impatience and haste. He goes on to say to them, because you have taken my word and live it, and thereby become patient, I will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them to dwell on the earth. Now here again we see the overlapping of two ages. For this promise has to do with the end of the Gentile period, which culminates in the Great Tribulation. That's the sound. That's the sound, friends. That promise has to do with what? This hour. I will keep you in the hour of temptation. Why? Because I reveal a word to you. I try you by it. And you are patient waiting for the fulfillment. Though the vision tarry, it will speak. It will come and will not tarry. He will come and will not tarry. Take courage tonight. What God has revealed to you is the Bible. What Joseph was catching was the plan of God for the age in part. He had two dreams. The butler and the baker, two dreams. And Pharaoh had two dreams. And that's the book. But all those dreams was prophecy. It showed his future. It showed the future of the brothers. The butler and the baker dreams showed their future. And Pharaoh's dreams showed Egypt's future. Prophecy in simple form. But his dream, his prophecies stay longer. While he's revealing their own and their own being fulfilled, he's still wondering whether it's going to come to pass. He's still being tried. You catching that? When he was 17 years, he began to catch it. When he was 30 years, when he stood before him. God knew 13 years from now, it will begin its fulfillment. Begin its fulfillment. Then 5 years of plenty, 7 years of plenty, and 2 years of famine. And then the brothers came. And 9 years, and he's 39 years. When the brothers came, he said, 5 years yet. Still, go get my father and my brothers and bring all your family down. Tell your father you've seen my glory. Tell him God has made me a father to Pharaoh. He knew it was coming to pass. From the time he 7 years of plenty start, it confirmed his vision for Pharaoh. From the time he 2 years of famine start, it proved his interpretation was correct too. But Pharaoh had faith even before. They had discernment. They didn't say, wait and see, no. He says, we believe it. Even Pharaoh theologians believe it. That big denomination. You realize you speak by a different spirit here. Egyptian couldn't discern what he was saying. He brought us in them condition we see. You got what I'm saying? Isn't strange what God is testing? Sometimes the unbeliever rally and they see God in it. And the believers down there, and they watch it, they criticize it, they fight with it, they rebel against it, they stubborn about it, they don't want to move in it, they're checking it out. But the wheel of prophecy goes around. It goes around. It goes around. The wheel of the potter. And he presses in Potiphar's house. And he press in the prison house. And he come in the sheep. And he press here in Pharaoh's house. Now he's in the sheep. And he pulled out. We shall see what shall become of his dreams. In the end, he says, God sent me. You meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. That I will save many lives. Very beautiful. The things he had come to learn of this God. He didn't just have a revelation of an event that was to come. I remember Martin him say, but we know in the resurrection the last days, he'll rise. He said, I'm not talking about the event here. I am the resurrection. It's more than the event, it's a person. The vision wasn't an event. In that vision, he saw God. He saw God was about to kill him. And God moved upon Reuben's heart. And Reuben said, no, no, no. Put him in the pit. Don't kill him. Reuben go and come back and you see him. When they're going to kill him, Judah said, no, you'll be Ishmael like him coming there. Sell him. It's not a good idea. You can get some money out of this. And God controlled that. Why? That word couldn't fall to the ground. Remember Joash, the last scene in the house of David. But God had already said that the scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. And the house of David, that the Messiah is going to come. And the house of David come down to one seed. And after Athaliah kill all, Joshua should move to get that child. And she and Jehoiada wasn't afraid. Like Amram and Joshua wasn't afraid of the kingdom battle. They moved to save Moses. They moved to hide that child. That God let things like that happen. What does he want to show? That something can slip out of his hand? No, he shows how weak it can get. How low it can get. But how he rules this whole universe. And how his word, his counsel is immutable. It's impossible for God to lie. The unchangeableness of his will. He is willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. His word cannot fail. His word will not fail you, he promised. Not one jot, one tittle of his word shall in any wise fail. It cannot fail. That's why if you abide in me and my word abide in you, often that we learn what it is to abide in this world, to know this God tonight. Why don't you, today's Joseph, end time Joseph, end time Josephs, perfection people, sheaves people, wheat bride, wheat seed bride in the end time, in the harvest time. The seed who will not be able to shock. Can't we move up in that realm tonight? Eager, seeing your future on that seventh seal, catch and bring it down, testify it, and then we're gonna walk in it. And through all adversity, yet you know all things are working together for good. Are you learning your lessons well? Are you yielding and submitting? Are you becoming his prisoner? You became a prisoner from the prison to the throne. God chose the way to come into the throne through the prison. Why? To teach us how. And when God's in the prophet, the end time Joseph, he opened the mystery. He said, prisoners, then power. Prisoners first, then power. And during that time, the word tried while it's feeding fetters. Can you lift your hand and sing, I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm getting more power. I understand what power is now. Not super duper Pentecostal church power, denomination power, God's power. God's supernatural. Joseph, so full of the supernatural. Oh, sing it again, Lily. Oh, gracious God, tonight. You teach by experiences. You make your word spirit and life within us. Through the fiery trial, the predestinated experiences, designed to reveal you and make your will clear, and even to uncover who we are and what we are. That we might be conformed into your image in our walk, we might come into a true relationship with you. Tonight, Lord, the channel is open, the Holy Spirit. Let it, Lord, be released in our hearts, bringing more power into our lives. Power like Joseph had. To walk in his vision and see it come to pass. Early on, Jesus. Day that we upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. That's nothing but the truth. With wings man cannot change the will of God, friends. God's eternal purpose is stronger than human will. Prophet tried to kill himself, he electrocuted himself. He couldn't change God's plan for his life. He tried to drop out of the race. God kept him going on into the fulfilling of the word. The vision was going to come to pass in its time and season. Ooh, oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Lord, who wait down on my knees. Hallelujah. Oh my God, till in your own good time. Good time. You will answer my pleas. Hear my cry, O Lord, and attend to my prayer tonight. Teach me not to rely. Oh, rely. Open my eyes. Let me see Jesus. Let me see your guiding hand. Let me see the lesson you're trying to teach me in what I'm going through, Lord. Let me not become flustered by the circumstances, but let me get tuned into your spirit. In prayer. For an answer. Wait, I say, wait upon the Lord. Be patient. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing the testing of your faith will get patience, and patience experience hope. Hallelujah. You might be entirely wanting nothing. Patient in tribulation. While God is running about, your feet and fetters, you're locked away like in a prison. Nothing is going wrong. It's God's word coming to pass. His ways are high, no ways. His thoughts are high, no thoughts. Just yield and submit. He has a reason and a purpose of doing it in the way, in the time, in the season, the manner in which he's doing it. Teach me, Lord, to eat while hearts are aflame. While others are rejoicing, while others are having a good time, it seems that I'm being crushed like a rose of Sharon. I'm being ground like the corn. Being bruised and broken. Oh yes, we're going to come a life loaf. Hallelujah.
faith renewed.
Oh, and keep my eyes zeroed. Keep my eyes focused.
Help me. On His earth.
What you want me to be? A super race, a super church, beloved. An adopted son and daughter. An overcomer. A right machine. What you have baked into reality. No super duper, no campground star. But tested and tried and proven. Hallelujah.
He shall mount up. An eagle.
Oh my God, they shall run into the very. Hallelujah.
They shall walk
and not faint.
Lord, teach me, Jesus, teach me.
I want to learn, Lord.
Sometimes we learn great mysteries. Sometimes we learn great truths. We become eloquent. We become so knowledgeable about the word. And the song says, teach me to wait. It's a different kind of lesson. Teach me to wait, to be patient in tribulation. You know, in tribulation we'll get patience, and patience experience, experience hope. And hope that make it not a shame. The love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We bow our hands in His presence tonight. And invite our precious brother Samuel Johnson to come and pray. And you in your heart, as you consider your journey walking in the Word, knowing that God, those who foreknew you, He did predestine, and those who predestined let me call Him. We are the call according to His purpose. And that purpose has been unfolding down over a span of time. It took Joseph 13 years. But at 13 years after, when he was 30 years old, he was a right machine. Then 9 years after, the brothers came. Think of it, from 22 years it took. And he's short about Abraham, 25 years it took. But God, who started the good work, was working right down to the end. We have seen the patience of Job and the end of the Lord. His goal, his objective, that He was working to achieve in your life. For you too, He has a purpose, an objective. To bring you into the stature of Jesus Christ in this hour. Let Him tonight do His work. And you, as He makes Himself known, how unsearchable His judgments and His ways past finding out, you begin to see how He lets Himself be known to you. And what He teaches you while He passes you. Trials dark on every hand and we cannot understand all the ways that He would lead us to that blessed promised land. He guides us with His eye and we will follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. Don't struggle. Don't fight it tonight. Let go and let God have His wonderful will. Would you do that tonight? Would you find that place you can yield in your heart and surrender in your mind? And bring your will subject to His will. While our brother would pray, let's all unite now.
Lord Jesus, oh God, tonight, Father, we sat in Your presence, God, and we heard Your voice, Father, speaking to us, God. Through this divine channel of Your word, Father, is given to us, God, by vindicated prophets and made plain by Your Holy Spirit through Your servants. that cause us to understand our experimental experiences with you in your great wisdom is allowing to come to pass in our lives, God. Oh God, Father, the intricate meshwork, Lord, of your working of your spirit, Father. The places, God, they're shown, Father, in this one character, God. Cause our eyes, Lord, to be brightened tonight, God. We can look through these divinely revealed mystery truths, God. And we could know how to behave, Lord. How to act, Lord. How to react, Father. In a way to meet the challenge of the hour, God. In the places where the enemy will try to confuse us, Father. But by way, God, of the opening of your word, God. The entrance of your word bringeth light. Evening light, God. He said, because we have kept the word of your patience, you will keep us. In the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the earth. Oh God, we are in that time now, Father.
Yes.
It's all around us, God. And to know, God, that has given us that assurance. After we have labored, God. And we have pressed, Father. And all the years, God. And the times we pass, Father. Them days in Barataria, God.
Yes.
Them rough days, God. In France Street, Lord. When we are called novices, Father.
Yes.
To stand, God, now, Father. In this hour, Father. Recognizing the purpose behind these things, God. Recognizing the ways, God, Father. Your ways is past finding out, God. As the heavens are in the earth, so your ways. Who can instruct thee, Father? Truly we are learning to lead. As the mystery become more plain, we give us a greater understanding. That we could be more yielded, God. That we could worship, we could praise. We could have reason to do it, Father. We see the reason why, God. Oh, God, just continue to have your way. Continue to use your servant. Continue to make it more plain. Continue to give us the understanding in a way that we can be so sensitive, God. That we can be so encouraged, Father. That we know to yield. And yield ourselves to hear and to know, Father.
Yes.
How to sit still, God. How to wait for the still, small voice, Lord. Oh, not the noise, not the whirlwind, Father. No, the still, small voice. That we could know it's you, God. That we could see it, thus said the Lord, Father. That we could be certain of God.
Hallelujah.
We give you praise tonight, Father. And thanks and honor and glory, Father, for the entrance being ministered abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. We love you, God. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We give you praise.
Thank you, Lord.
There's none as great as thou art. Thou art great, thou art an awesome God. You are an awesome God.
Hallelujah.
We stand in awe of thee tonight, God. And we give thanks.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we love you, Jesus. Help us, God. Continue to be with us, Father. Inspire yourself, God. Truly your word. Oh, God, it could never be forgotten, Father. It's so visible, God. So real. Be with us, God. Be with yourself. Take us safely home tonight, God. Not forgetting the things we hear, Father. Oh, let it stay in our hearts and our minds. Truly, it's to guide, it's to edify, it's to instruct. That we could be better Christians in Jesus Christ. Have your way, God, and bless us now. Take us safely, Father, to our homes. As we meditate on these things, we could have place and faith to walk in, God, in these trying times. Where your people are going to walk with steps of assurance from promise unto promise. Till we manifest the promise that's given to us. Have your way, God. We ask it in Jesus' name tonight. Amen.
Mary, simply the same as you worship him in this little song. It's not in trying, but in trusting. It's not in running, but in resting. Goodbye, my dear. Amen. God bless you. Keep you faithful. Keep you in his presence. Let us, a church, just lay in his presence. And let him just take all the greenness out and tend up our hearts and move us up into the place where we can truly see all self being moved aside. Christ, this great one we've been revealed, who Joseph reflected, that we too can reflect him in all that he is in this hour. Let's believe what he has revealed concerning us. And though the vision tarry in your own life, individually, you hold it. And though it might have wriggled off the road, and though the devil might have got kind of battles in your mind trying to discourage you, know that the vision will speak. God bless you.
It's not in trying, but in trusting. It's not in running, but in resting.
It's not in wandering, but in praying.
It's not in wandering, but in praying.
That we find the strength of the Lord.
The strength of the Lord.
Oh, it's not in trying, but in trusting.
It's not in trying, but in trusting.
It's not in running, but in resting.
It's not in running, but in resting.
It's not in wandering, but in praying.
Wandering, but in praying. That we find the strength of the Lord.
Oh, it's not in trying.
Oh, it's not in trying, but in trusting.
It's not in running, but in resting.
In running, but in resting.
Lift your hands and surrender. It's not in trying, but in trusting.
It's not in trying, but in trusting.
It's not in running, but in resting.
In running, but in resting.
It's not in wandering, but in praying.
Wandering, but in praying. That we find.
It's not in running.
Oh, it's not in trying, but in trusting.
It's not in running, but in resting.
It's not in running, but
it's not in wandering, but in praying.
It's not in wandering, but in praying. That we find the strength.
Just one more time. It's not in trying, but in trusting.
It's not in trying, but in trusting. It's not in running, but in resting. Oh, it's not in wandering, but in praying. That we I've learned to
it all, do it all.
Do it all. Do it all.
I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've had questions for tomorrow. Many times I didn't know right from wrong.
I didn't know right from wrong.
Oh, but in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation.
Consolation that my trials only come to make me strong.
That's why I'm going through it all,
through it all.
I've learned to trust in Jesus. You know I've learned to trust in God in my trials.
I've been a lot of places,
and I've seen millions of faces. Oh, but there were times I felt so all alone.
I felt so all alone.
Oh, but in my
lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely,
Jesus lets me know that I am his own,
that I am his own.
That's why I'm going through it all,
through it all.
I've learned to trust in Jesus.
I've learned to trust in God in my trials.
Mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. But if I never had a problem, how would I know that my God could solve them? How would I know what faith in God would be? That's why I'm going through it all. Oh, through it all.
I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God in my trials. Through it all.